Well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to share on a little bit on the utterance manifestations tonight. We're going to start by learning about the manifestations in general. In 2 Corinthians chapter, or I'm in 2nd. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," and the word gifts isn't there, but the word spiritual matters. "Concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant," right? "I would not have you ignorant." God does not want us to be ignorant about spiritual matters. And if he doesn't want us to be ignorant about it, it means he wants us to know about them. It's really important that you understand them and know about them. Verse 2 says, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit," and that gifts is charismata, or gifts of God's grace. "And there are differences of administrations," which is diakonia, gifts of God in action. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of verse 5. "And there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations." There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all, right? So it's the same Holy Spirit that everybody has who's been born again, right? I have the same Holy Spirit that Hannah has. Holden has the same Spirit that I have. Kate has the same Spirit that Rube has. It's the same Holy Spirit, right? And it's the same God who works in each of us, right? It's the same God who works in each of us. We all have the same ability to manifest the nine manifestations, right? We all have that same ability. Verse 7 says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man." It's given to all of us. We all have the same. "To profit with all. For to one," which is the prophet, there's one prophet, "is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues." Right? And so those are the nine manifestations listed out. And every person has the ability to operate all nine. Verse 11 says, "But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Right? And the word dividing is distributing. And severally is his own. So the best way to read that verse is distributing to every man his own as he will, as he wants to, right? So everybody has the ability, but whether or not they operate it is up to that person, right? If you want to do it, then you can do it. And if you don't want to do it, then you won't do it because you don't want to, right? And that's the way that God designed it. It's up to each individual to decide if they want to, right? God doesn't force people. He doesn't possess people. It's all a free will decision. But the word says that every man can operate all nine as to the degree that they want to, right? What you speak in terms of speaking in tongues is God's business, right? He gives you the words, but that you speak is your business, right? You're the one who decides whether you want to, right? That's what Dr. Wirle used to say. What you speak is God's business. That you speak is your business, right? You decide it. 1 Corinthians 14, so a couple chapters over, verse 18. First Corinthians 14:18 says, this is Paul by revelation, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, right? And Paul could say this because he chose to speak in tongues a lot, right? It's not that God made him speak in tongues a lot or forced him to speak in tongues a lot. He chose to speak in tongues a lot, and he was thankful for it. That was his level of desire. He wanted to manifest a lot, and so he did. And he did to the degree that God had him write in his word that he spoke in tongues a lot, right? He wanted to do it a lot. Go to verse 2. So when it comes to the utterance manifestations, this is what God wants us to know. Chapter 14, verse 2, it says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue, right? He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto who?
God.
Unto God, right? When we speak in tongues, we don't speak to each other. We speak to God. Why? Well, it tells us, for no man understands, no man understands him, right? And understands themselves. The person speaking in tongues doesn't understand the language that they're speaking. That's why it's speaking in tongues. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries or divine secrets. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So when you prophesy, when you bring forth a word of prophecy, then you are speaking to men. You're speaking to other people. And you're speaking things that are edifying and exhorting and comforting. Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue or speaks in tongues edifies who? Himself. Right? So when we prophesy, we edify each other, the person we're speaking to. When we speak in tongues, we edify ourselves. But he that prophesieth edifies the church, the people around him, right? The people who understand what he's prophesying. Okay? So he that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, right? And when we don't know what we're speaking when we speak in tongues, right? It's a language not known to us. So we can't edify ourselves in our mind. I don't know what I'm saying when I speak in tongues. And if I don't know what I'm saying, it can't build me up. But it edifies us in our spirit, right? It edifies us spiritually. It builds us up spiritually. So that's what speaking in tongues is for, to build us up spiritually. But he that prophesies edifies the church, the people around him. I would that you all spake in with tongues. I really want you to all speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesied. And again, the context here is in a group setting, you know, whether it's a fellowship, it's a work day, it's a wedding, it's a believer's meeting. If there's a bunch of believers present, right, you're supposed to prophesy because that's a message from God to everybody there. If you just got up there and spoke in tongues and you don't know what you're saying, and the chances are nobody in the audience knows what you're saying, then you're not really edifying anybody, right? I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Right? So again, it's in the context of a group of believers, but if you're going to speak in tongues, then you should also interpret it so that there is a message from God in a language everyone understands. Right? That's the whole purpose of it. Speaking in tongues is the God-given spiritual ability to speak in a language unknown to the speaker at will as God gives him utterance, right? That's what it is. You speak in a language that you don't know as you desire to, and the words are things that God gives you to say. And the Word of God talks about all kinds of benefits for speaking in tongues. We won't go into all of them tonight, but it does build up the speaker spiritually. It's perfect prayer. It speaks divine secrets and the wonderful works of God. It magnifies God. It can be a sign to the unbelievers. Like if somebody does know the language that you're speaking, they can be like, how's that person doing that? It gives rest to our souls. It gives thanks well. And it's proof of the new birth, right? If you're manifesting by speaking in tongues, then you're manifesting what? Holy Spirit, which means that you have what? Holy Spirit. Right, so it's proof that you're born again. Interpretation of tongues and prophecy are messages from God in a language understood by the speaker to the people present, right? So it's a language that the speaker understands and the people present understand so that they can get edified and built up by the words that God is giving them. Okay, so that's what they're used for, right? It's used, interpretation of tongues and prophecy is used in a group setting, right? So that it builds up the believers because it builds them up in their understanding, right? Things that God says in his manifestations are how much he loves us, how he's always there for us, how he's our strength and our sufficiency, right? God wants us to know these things. So it's a message from God to all of us so that it blesses us. When somebody speaks in tongues and interprets or prophesies, that's God talking to you in the group through that person's manifestations, which is really cool. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Right? And so that's what the utterance manifestations are for. Speaking in tongues is to build you up, edify you spiritually. Interpretation of tongues and prophecy is to bless the body of believers. And it's supposed to be done when there's other people around to bless. And it's really cool because the of all the manifestations, speaking in tongues is the only one that's is specifically for you, right? You speak in tongues, you build yourself up spiritually. It's a you job. All the other manifestations are for the church. They're to bless people, to edify people, to take care of people, right? God gives people information to bless the church. God gives people the knowledge of what to do with that information, wisdom, to bless the church. He gives people the ability to work miracles or heal people, right? To bless the church. God gave us these tools to be able to take care of each other and help each other, which is really cool. John chapter 20, verse 19. This is Jesus Christ in his resurrected body visiting with his disciples. And it says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. So Jesus appears unto them in this closed, locked room and says, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Right? And then he went in to tell them something. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And in the text, the word on is in, and them is not, it's in italics, it's not there. So it should read, when he said this, he breathed in and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Right? And we know from further working of the word that it wasn't available right in that moment to receive Holy Spirit, right? It hadn't been the day of Pentecost yet. So Jesus Christ here was teaching them how to receive Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when it was going to be available, what they were to do. And he told them to breathe in, right? When the time comes, breathe in. Right? Breathe in. So he's giving them instructions on what to do. And in Acts chapter 1, another page over, verse 4, it says, and this is right before Jesus Christ ascends, he gives them more instruction. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive, and that's lumbano, into manifestation, power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. Right? That was their receiving of power. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Right? So he gave them more instruction. He said, you're going to wait in Jerusalem, and very soon, not many days hence, which turned out to be 10 days, you're going to receive power, right? You're going to receive that Holy Spirit I was telling you about when I was telling you to breathe in. Right? And then in chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, right? Which is as of a heavy breathing, right? Remember what he told them, breathe in. And so they were all breathing in together. And that sound sounded like a heavy breathing. And it filled all the house, the temple, where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, or with Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit, as God, gave them what? Utterance. So God gave them the words to say. They were to receive that Holy Spirit into manifestation, right? That's what lumbano is, to receive into manifestation. And that's what they did. They received Holy Spirit that day, and they immediately manifested it by speaking in tongues. They followed Jesus Christ's instructions. They waited there for the promise. They breathed in a heavy breathing, and they received it and began to speak in tongues as God told them by the Spirit what to say, right? What to say. And they spoke in tongues, right? And that's exactly the same way that we learn or do speaking in tongues today for the first time, right? We thank God for, you know, his blessing and his gift of Holy Spirit, and he gives us the words as we will or want to manifest and speak in tongues. Right? And speaking in tongues is for you, to bless you, to edify you, to build you up in the Spirit. It's perfect prayer. There's all kinds of benefits for it. And interpretation and prophecy are for the believers present, right? Whenever there's a group of believers present at a fellowship, at, like I said before, like a wedding, we do it at the work days. You can do it if you have three people who are believers anytime you want. If you're hanging out in a restaurant and you want to hear from God, and everybody's happy to manifest, you can do that, right? You can do it at the dinner table with your family, okay? It's just a way to manifest that Holy Spirit and hear from God, right? And you can do it when you want to do it, because it's your freedom of will.